And I'm not sure it goes in a line. It's going to probably go like this tonight. Okay? So I need a little reaction from you because I want to tailor it. Now, okay, well, that's a good one. That still works. Because I want to make sure that whatever we talk about is applicable. Because the Word of God is an actionable book. Everything about this is something for us to take an action on. And it's created for us to live an abundant life here. I mean, Jesus Christ is the Word, and He said, I came to give you abundant life. So the Word is for us to do that. So what I'd like to do is pray before we get started, if you will. So, gracious Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to be up here. I thank you that your Word is truth, and it is something that will touch our lives and make our lives better every day and every breath that we take. I give myself to you tonight to speak through me, to use whatever you need to say, to get your words into us, get life into us. And Holy Spirit, I want to thank you that you are here, and I release you to touch each heart here tonight. Put words in my mouth that would be applicable to everyone. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare it so. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I have a question for you. I need you to examine your own life right now. And are there any needs in your life that you have right this minute? Finances, housing, cars, business. Is there stuff in your life that you need? Okay? There's stuff in your life that you need, right? You've got your bank accounts, your houses, and all this stuff. Do you have room enough in your bank account to receive an extra something? I mean, you got a little more room? You don't have any more room? That's a good thing. Oh, no, okay. All right. So, we have room enough to receive something more, okay? And we have needs in our lives today. Well, the Bible is full of just massively good promises that are laid out in front of us. And as we read and listen to some of these promises, it's like, what? Really? That's just too good to be true. So I want to touch on some of that. I have lived my life, I'm 58 years old now, and from the day one of my first paycheck, my dad said, you've got to tithe. And he drove that into me, that you've got to tithe, because in Malachi it says, you bring the tithes into the storehouse, and I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your behalf, I'm going to open the windows of heaven. So I've tithed, and I know that promise. But I've lived my life, and I've struggled here, and I've struggled there. And it's like, okay, well, I'm just doing this because I'm supposed to. Anyway, it just makes your life a little different. Okay, so tonight, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about a few things that's going to make the crowd say, you know, it's just a prosperity gospel. That prosperity gospel is garbage. Or you're a name it, claim it person, blab it, grab it. Well, yep, I'm all of that. I'm all of that. And because the God's promises say those things are part of your life. Okay? All right, so let me ask you a question. Everybody in here knows Elon Musk? I didn't see you shake your head, but you do, okay. Or how about Bill Gates? Y'all know Bill Gates? All right. Both of those guys have the ability to put $1 billion in a bank account for you. Okay? And I would like for you to imagine that they did that. You know, there's a bank account with your name on it, and Bill Gates or Elon Musk, either one, put $1 billion in this checking account for you. The question now is, that bank account has $1 billion in it. The bank account's in your name. Can you still starve? Yeah, but why can you starve knowing that there's $1 billion in your account? I mean, the man showed you, he put it in there. It's there, okay? So let's think about it this way. All right, it's in the bank, and the banker sits there and says, I see Jeff needs $10,000 to pay some bill. Mr. Banker, I'm just going to send Jeff a check for $10,000. That ain't going to happen, right? The banker's not going to look at your life and say, I need to send some of his money back to him. All right, so I can be going out and say, well, I really could use some of that. I know that's there and I know it's in my name, but I could use it. Well, I promise you, it'll stay in the bank until I make a demand on it. Okay? If that money was put in your account and in your name, you have to send a check or request, which is what we call a demand for it, for whatever amount you need out of that checking account. When you do that, the bank will send you what you request for, right? Okay. If you request $1 million out of that billion, they will send it to you. If you request $1 billion out of that billion, they will send it to you. But now, once that's empty, you say, well, I need more. The bank's going to laugh at you. You don't have anything left in here. Okay? So recognize that sometimes you have to take an action for something. All right? So as we go through some of these scriptures tonight, I want you to realize, and I'm going to make a comment on some of them, about an action that we need to take. Okay? First thing I'm going to do is, it's not up the verses up there, but Deuteronomy chapter 28, let's see, I'm going to read a couple verses out of this. God is talking to the Israelites, and he says that if they listen and obey all of his commands, these blessings will come upon them. Okay? So Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. I'm going to stop right there. A lot of people will say, well, you know, I've done something in my life that, okay, I'm not fully obeying all this stuff. And I'll come back to that, but just keep that in your mind. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed in the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction and flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hands to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people. As he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Those are the blessings that are in this law, okay? And God says, if you obey the law, these are yours. Well, no one could fulfill the law except for Jesus Christ. So what happens is Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. And when he died on the cross and he substituted our sin debt for his and put his life in our lives, we now, through the substitution of Jesus Christ, have fulfilled the law. So these blessings belong to us. Now, many of these things in here are amazingly just like, wow, really? That's mine? Okay, so it's, you have to know what's yours, first of all. Just like that bank account, if the person put money in that bank account and you didn't know it was yours, you would never draw it out. You have to know what the blessings are that are yours so that you can call on God and say, hey, through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am redeemed and I have these blessings that are mine. Okay. All right. Let's go to Matthew 6:8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Okay? I've lived my life and I have struggled and I have done really well and I've struggled, I've had hard times and I've done all these things. Now, I'm not saying that I shouldn't have hard times, so don't take it that way. But what I am saying is, if my Father knows everything that I need, he's already provided for it. He already knows. He's seen the end from the beginning. So he knows what I'm going to experience in my entire life. He's already made provisions for whatever it is that I need in my life. And if I don't know that, I'm going to go out and try my life my way. I'm going to try to make business work. I'm going to try to make jobs work. I'm going to try to make my finances work any way that I can imagine. But if I recognize that God says, I know your needs before you need them, then I can rest and go to him and say, you know what, Father, you knew that I was going to need a new truck coming up. I've got 400,000 miles on this vehicle and it's going to go. You knew I needed it. So I thank you that you've already provided for this new truck. It's a whole different feeling knowing that my God has taken care of me than going to him and say, oh, please, God, give me a new vehicle. Mine's running out. I just don't know what I'm going to do when it goes bad. These are minor things, but what I've just done was recognize that God has met my need before I needed it. So it's already there. Go to 1 John 5:15. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. You know, there's no limitation to that right there. Okay? What I want to point out to you here in these two things is that these verses here are promises from God. And just because it's a promise from God in the Bible doesn't mean it's going to be a part of your life. Now, that may be controversial to people, but there's examples all through here that God made promises and the people didn't receive them. Okay? So just because this promise is amazing and I know that God hears me when I pray, it says we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So when I go to him with a request of something, can I stand there and say, well, you know what, I've not always experienced this. Well, that's true. I haven't always experienced it. Why haven't I? Because I didn't apply it the way I'm going to try to get to tonight. So People have said, well, you know, God's in total control. He knows what's going on. He knows what's best for me. So that's what's going to happen. Well, that's sort of like saying, all right, I've got a garden and I want corn to grow over there, and God knows I want corn, so I'm just going to let it sit there, and I know corn's going to grow up in it. Well, the garden's going to be covered up in weeds because the world is throwing garbage at you all the time. You have to stand your ground and talk about things. James 1:7. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Sometimes we hear people say, you know, God allowed me to lose my business, or God allowed me to run this car off in a ditch. God allowed me to do this. God allowed me to lose my job. No. Right here, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now, it would have to twist something and try to contort it into a box to say, you know what, me losing my business is the best thing that ever happened. No. Getting rid of the business might have been the best thing that happened to me, but not it being taken from me. Okay? We can determine certain things, and we can sit there in life and say, yes, this is the way it is. But if you go back to Deuteronomy 28, which I read here earlier, he says that he would bless the works of your hand. Everything you put your hand unto will be successful. It didn't say everything I want you to put my hand unto. Everything I want you to put your hand to. It is everything you put your hand to. It's really going to make the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it people upset, you know. All right. 2 Corinthians, and what I'm doing is just going through promises right now. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Okay? Let's start here. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. I want to say that the word grace right there is God's willingness to use His power on your behalf. So, God is able to make all grace. He's going to use all of His power on your behalf toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. That is not a lack at all. There is no lack in that. If I can say, well, you know, God's trying to teach me something by having me struggle here or there. No, in all things, you may have an abundance for every good work. It's right there. Can we believe the Word of God? Or can I pull this verse out? And everybody said, well, you took that out of context. You didn't read the whole thing. Well, Jesus Christ even read Scripture in that way too. He would pull a Scripture from over here and a Scripture from over there and put it together as part of His talks. All right. Luke 6:38. Now, all of you in this room, I know, have given. I mean, you're givers. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I want you to know that that is a promise. That is a promise. But do you know people that have given, and they don't seem to have received? Absolutely. So that's where the message comes out, and they say, well, that preacher's just trying to give more money. Or all he's talking about is money. Well, this is a promise. It is a promise. But you have something to do about it. You have to apply it. And we will get to that, okay? Everybody's heard of this one, Malachi 3:10-11. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, all of us in here said we have room that we could receive more. I've tithed from day one when I got my first paycheck. I've still got room. So did this promise not be fulfilled in my life? I mean, can I say, wait a minute, I still have room. What's going on? I can say that. And I'll tell you that I'm learning more and more every day. And it says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. You know, again, I've tithed. I drove my truck right off the road and hit a curb and just destroyed a tire. And that's a devourer. Just took a tire from me. Took my time, took my stuff. Now, I was also looking at my text. Probably shouldn't have been doing that. But the devourer is the one that's trying to steal from us, to take from us, and to keep us down in every way. So he's going to rebuke the devourer for himself, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, which is my work, my labor, my efforts. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, we've all heard these promises, and everybody gets up and we talk about these great things that are happening, and these are the promises of God, and all of us sit here and have a want or a need in our life. Psalms 23:5-6 says, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We've all had times where we say, you know what? I need to get out of here. That's not the goodness and mercy that we're looking at. What do we do? Is this true or is it not? It's a truth in the Word of God. All of these are truths in the Word of God. These are all promises that are in the Word of God. And these promises are yours, okay? Philippians 4:19, we hear this a lot Sunday morning. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We all hear these and we're like, if he's going to supply all of my need, where is it? And someone will tell us, well, maybe you didn't really need that. Okay. Well, there's another promise that God says he's going to give me the desires of my heart. And it's all the same thing. These are all promises to us. John 10:10, Jesus Christ says that he came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I'm not saying that's money, but I'm saying it's relationships. I'm saying it's the grace of God being in our lives. I'm saying it's the fruit of our work, the fruit of our labor. That's another great promise that's here. Okay, it's yours. It's your promise. Galatians 3:13. I read to you Deuteronomy 28, the blessings. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He's redeemed us from the curses of the law, which means the blessings belong to you. Not because of anything that you have done, except for asking Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. Now, Jesus paid for it. It's a done deal. It's done once and for all for people past, present, and future. It's a done deal. Because he's done this for you, you are redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, Philippians 3:20, this tells you who you are. For our citizenship, you are now a citizen, is in heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven if you have Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are a citizen of heaven already, God says that when heaven, we're going to have everything that we need. It's already there, right? It's provided for us. There's no want. There's no pain. There's no sickness, no disease. It's utopia. It's everything more than that. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. You know, why are these promises ours? Because you're a child of God. And if you don't know that, then you don't come at these promises the way we're going to get to. Because you don't know they're yours. But you are a child of God because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. When you've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, it is no longer you who lives, but Christ Jesus who lives inside of you. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given, this is a promise, has given to us all things. Has given. That's not, I'm going to give it to you. So if we're not experiencing this in our life, is it God or is it something on our part? He has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, which means it's already done, right? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All of these things is already done for us. It's done. So when we look at our lives, we're like, oh my gosh, I'm not experiencing this stuff. Now, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. But I stick my own foot in my mouth, which I don't know how I get it there, but I do a lot. 2 Corinthians 1, 18 to 20. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silas, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him was yes. So through Jesus Christ, all the promises are yes to you, period. They're already yours, okay? Yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Ephesians 3:20. Glory belongs to God, whose power is at work in us. Okay? Because Jesus Christ has redeemed us, and the Spirit of God has come to live within us as we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, which is His power, is at work in us. By this power, He can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Now we're starting to see something here. All of these promises are ours. But He says, look, I need you to ask. I need you to ask. All right? So let's keep that in mind just for a few more minutes. Matthew 16:19. I will give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. All right. God gave you authority. And He says, you have to do something here. You are the one that's going to bring God's blessings in here. Because God lives inside of you. You are going to bind it or loose it. What's already been bound or what's already been loosed in heaven. It's you. You do this. Well, how are we going to do that? I mean, we've all lived our life and we say, well, I don't want that to happen. And then something bad happens. Like, well, how can it happen? I don't know. And then this is my last verse right here before we talk about a bunch of stuff. Isaiah 65:24. God says, it shall come to pass that before they call, before we speak and ask God for something, before they call, I will answer. That already comes back to the point where he already knows your needs. He's saying, before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Now, if he will hear as they're still speaking, that goes back to 1 John 5:15, where it says, if we know he hears us, we have the petitions that we've asked for. Okay. So, authority that's been given to us is exercised by words. Authority in the world, if you just take a secular thing about authority and say, how is that authority enforced or brought forward or brought in front of us? It's done by a person speaking it, it's done by the written word, or it's done even by sign language. Stop. Okay? But it's all done through communication. Okay? And God said that we are like him. We're created in his image and in his likeness, and we can speak. And all authority is done by your words. Okay? So, let's go back to a couple of these verses and look at them and see if what I'm talking about sort of fits in here. Let's go to Philippians 4:19. Where he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All right. So I had grew up in a Baptist church, and I sat and listened to messages, and my main thing in my entire life was, as long as I went to church, I was a good Christian. Didn't do anything, just I had to be there. That's what made me a good Christian. Well, that's hogwash, okay? You know, so what we want to do is we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, and we have all of these wonderful promises. And as I started to learn that Jesus Christ was more than just going to church, this was a relationship. Somebody said, well, take a lot of all these promises and put them down and speak them out loud. I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. So I made 3 pages. I mean, little font to where I filled these pages up. And for months and months, I would speak these things out. I would say them out morning. I would say them at night. And if I was at home on the weekend, I'd say them a couple times. Now, these things made me better because I felt like I was closer to God. And it helped me to understand that, yes, these are what God wants from me. This is what God wants in my life. This promise belongs to me. But as much as I recited Philippians 4:19, my God meets all of my needs according to riches and glory. I was still tithing. I was still giving. My needs wasn't being met. My bills were piling up. I was like, okay, so just reciting this promise doesn't make it so. So like if I tell God, I said, God, you said in Philippians 4:19 that you meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory. And he said, yep, that's the truth. I could just see him saying, yep, that's the truth. And he says, Robert, what does that mean to you? I said, well, it means you meet all my needs. Well, that's the truth. But I need you to know, I need to know a little bit more. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense here. What more can I do? So I heard, what is it you need? I said, well, I need these bills paid off. He said, okay. So, Robert, my God meets all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Therefore, my bills are paid in full because of the promise of God. Father, thank you that you have met this need and these bills are paid in full. Now, what I just did was I put what that meant to me. Because if I just sit here and say, My God meets all of my needs according to riches and glory. And I live my life. I can always say, well, he didn't meet my needs. Or I can sit here and say, yes, my needs are met. And people can look at me and say, I know better than that. I mean, I know your car has no tires on it, or it's sitting up on blocks over here that needs work done, or your roof is falling in on your... I mean, you name it. It doesn't matter. But until I put what it is, I can't definitely say, yes, God did that. So God says, Robert, I want you to put a demand on that bank account. I know all your needs already. In fact, I've already got them stacked up because I've already provided them before you ask. They're all stacked up. I've seen your life from beginning to end. I know exactly what you're going to need. Now I need you to ask. So I sit down and I say, well, my God knows my needs before I need them, and he's already provided even as I ask. That sounds great, and I'm speaking that out, and I'm bringing it out in my life. And he says, that's the truth, Robert. That's the truth. And I said, why is it not here in my life? Why? Robert, I've already known your needs, and it's already provided. You need to write a check, Robert, not to give, but put a demand on what it is you need. Okay. So I started saying, my bills are paid in full. And I want you to know, I don't know how it happened, but I had over $20,000 in bills that got paid off. Now, we paid them off. It came through us. And I don't know how. It just happened. So then, I was like, you know what? God, I'm going to think bigger. You know? I want my house paid off. I mean, that's a big deal. So I said, okay, God, you said you meet my needs. And my need right now is to have my house paid off. It's a want as well, because he wants to give me the desires of my heart. So I said, God, you said that you meet all of my needs and you want to give me the desires of my heart. So therefore, I'm putting a call on my house being paid off. Okay. I probably did that for off and on for 4 or 5 years. Today, my house is paid off. You know? I'm not smart enough to make that happen. I'm here to tell you that. And how did it happen? God worked it out. I don't know how he did it, but he worked it out. So now, let's go to this one in Deuteronomy 28. Let's see. He says, "Just holy people." I don't know. I'm going to find it here. But it basically what he said was, I'm going to make you the top and not the bottom. Okay? So, I'm the top and not the bottom. So what does that mean to me? It can mean anything in your life. But I looked at it and I said, okay, God, you said that I am the top and not the bottom. And I'm currently in a business where I'm in sales. And I'm not the top salesman. So something's wrong here. I'm calling in that you have made me the top salesman because you've made me the top and not the bottom. All right? 2 years in, today I am the top salesman out of 8. Again, I'm not that smart. But I called in and I put a demand, not a demand on God, don't take me wrong. I put a demand on the provision that's already been provided for me. So then he says, Robert, I'm going to bless all the works of your hands. And everything you put your hand unto is successful. So I was quoting that and I was speaking that out, and God says, yeah, that's true. What does it mean to you, Robert? Because it's your life, and I know what it means to you, but I need you to ask me. I need you to ask. So it's like, okay, well, I want a certain number of sales. And this is what I think. If all of the works of my hands, then I am going to claim this amount of sales in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I want to thank you that you have blessed the works of my hand, and everything I put my hand unto is successful. Therefore, I receive this dollar amount of sales per month. I don't know how it happens. It just starts coming in. And the other seven guys are like, what's happening? I got a God that takes care of me. But I'm starting to put a definition on the promises. So anything in here, he's going to bless the ground that you walk on. He's going to rebuke the devourer on your behalf. Here's one, the Luke 6:38 says, if you give, it will be given unto you. Mashed down, pressed together, shaken up, shall men give into your bosom. By the same measure that you give, it will be measured back to you. That is a truth. And as I'm speaking that out, God says, yep, Robert, that's the truth. And it's following your action. But what does that mean to you again? All right? So now I give. I say, God, I have given. And it will be given unto me, mashed down, pressed together, shaken up, shall men give into my bosom. I have an abundance to meet all of my needs. My bank account is growing because you said this right here to me. I'm not trying to make God do something that he hasn't already done. What I'm trying to do is make Robert agree with what he's already done and start calling those things in my life. All of us have this. And we've all, like, I mean, my entire Christian life, I've read these things in here and I'm like, yeah, but I've seen people that it didn't happen to. And it makes you, can I trust this? It's just feel-good stuff and people are trying to get you to give more money or whatever. If you're not experiencing it in your life, you will be struggling with it. But if you will put a demand or a call, I'm going to change the word demand, to a call upon what it is that it means to you, and thank God for something he's already done for you. Because there is nothing in your life that you need at this moment that he hasn't already provided for. Because he said so. He says, I know your needs before you need them, and I've already provided as you ask. There is nothing, no business scenario that you can think of that would make it, you know, it's like, oh, the economy's slowing down. Because the economy's slowing down, I guess my business is going to go down. Well, I want you to hear this. I'm going to make these numbers up. So these numbers are fake, okay? But if we have a $15 trillion economy, it's a lot of money, and it goes down 20%, that's $3 trillion. It's still a $12 trillion economy. It hasn't dropped 20%. $12 trillion. There is no lack here. It may be a little harder for us to see it, but it's still there. So if I say, well, you know, the economy's getting tough, people are not going to do it, what am I saying? I'm saying, God, you don't know what's going on down here. I know you didn't provide for me. It's tough out here. And you know what God said? He says, if you speak it and you don't doubt it in your heart, you will have whatever you say. So the promises are amazing. And if I quote them every day, I'm just quoting a truth. But until you make it personal. Now this is my experience, y'all. I'm not then this is the only way. By no means. But this is my experience. I'm evolving. God said that through the Holy Spirit, He will change us to be more like Christ. We are made in the likeness, in the image of God. So if I call for something in my life and people, you're just trying to be like God. Well, thank you. Yeah, I do. Because I'm made in His likeness and in His image. And if I'm not trying to be like God, who am I trying to be like? The other one? I mean, you only have two choices. Either God or the devil. And the devil's here to try to steal, kill, and destroy you in every way. So, if I have a business, and it's not going the way I want it to go right now, I'm going to ask God, I say, God, You said that You would make me the top and not the bottom. You said that You were going to make me the head and not the tail. Therefore, I'm a leader. You said that You have blessed all the works of my hand, and everything I put my hand unto is successful. Right now, Father, I don't feel like I've experienced that. And here's what I would like to see come into my life right now. I would like this to be applied into my life. I want, whatever the business is, I don't know, cleaning houses, landscaping, trash pickup, I don't care what it is, anything. And say, I want 5 new customers. I claim those in because You've already met my need. So I claim those in. And Father, I want to thank You for these 5 new customers. And I want to thank You that Your angels have heard this declaration of Your word and they're going out to make this happen. Now, Satan, you keep your hands off of this promise because you have no rights to touch it from this point forward. Now, by doing that, my whole emotion changes. Instead of me coming to God begging and pleading, please give me this or that to help me in this way, I'm coming to a God that way, not knowing if He's going to help me. And if something's delayed for months, I can say, well, maybe He didn't really want that for me. Or that's not mine. But when you put a call on what it is, and you go at Him with the knowledge that He knows your needs before you know needed them, and He's already provided, now I'm more confident. I know that my God loves me. He loves me so much, He sent His only begotten Son. He made me a child of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has made me the righteousness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Those aren't things that God would do that doesn't love you. He loves you so much. And He wants the best for you in everything in your life. So what I want to point out is all of these promises are great. But that's what they are. Here's an example in the Old Testament. God said to the Israelites, I'm going to give you the promised land. And the Israelites said, all right, God has given us a promised land. And when they get there, they send out 12 spies, 10 come back and say, you know what? We can't take that. I thought God was giving us that. We can't go and take that. So they said, no, we can't take that. That's God promised it to us. But no. Everyone that was 20 years old and above died without receiving the promise, even though God said the promise was theirs. Caleb and Jacob said, hey, we're well able to take it. And they maintained that. We're well able to take it. God promised this to us. It's ours. Let's go take the land. So I'm going to give you another example. And this one's hard, but it's easy to follow. God went to Abram when he was 75 years old and said, Abram, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to read that. Let's see. It's Genesis 12. I'm going to make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Now, Abram was 75 years old. Okay? 75 years old. He's going to go 10 years now. He's going to be 85. Let's see. Genesis 15, he says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Now, at 75 years old, God says, I'm going to make you a great nation, which means he has to have children. So that was a promise from God to Abram. Abram went 10 years. He still didn't have a child. And then he says, you hadn't given me a child. I'm still childless. God says, no, you're going to have a child. It's going to be of your flesh. All right? So Sarah, his wife, says, I can't have no children. So take Hagar over here, and we're going to have a child. So Abram says, okay, I'll do that. And they have a child, Ishmael. Ishmael is 14 years old. Now, let's see, if he's 75 to 85, and in 14 more years, he's 99 years old, right? And God said, look, Abram, I told you I was going to give you a child. And can you imagine Sarah saying, you know what, my womb is dead. I'm sure God knows what he's talking about, but we ain't having no children. So she's speaking these things, and Abram says, well, God says we're going to have them, but maybe it's a spiritual thing. You know, maybe it's something else. God says, you know what? I've got to fix this somehow, some way. So at 99 years old, God comes to Abram and says, look, I told you, you and Sarah are going to have a child. So I'm going to change your name to Abraham. He's like, what? How's that going to help me have a child? Abraham means I am the father of many nations. So Abram, from 75 to 99 years old, had to be saying, well, God says I'm going to have a child. It's a promise from God. God says I'm going to have a child, but I don't know. I mean, Sarah's womb's dead. I don't know how it's going to happen, but God said I was going to have a child, so it's a promise. So see the promises? He meets all of your needs according to his riches and glory. So as soon as God changes his name to Abraham, he goes around and says, don't call me Abram no more. I am Abraham. I am the father of many nations. Not only is he saying, I'm Abraham, all of the people around him are saying, you're Abraham. You are the father of many nations. And he changes Sarah, I don't know whatever her first name was, but he changes her name to Sarah, which is the mother of many nations. He's 99 years old. Within that year that he went out saying, I am the father of many nations, he has a child. 25 years, that promise was his. My entire life, the promise was when I tithe, he would rebuke the devourer on my behalf and he would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon me that I don't have room enough to receive. That's a truth. But did I receive it? Did I give my tithe and say, oh, man, I really shouldn't have given that much this month? I've got more month than I've got money. And you know I've said that. And when I said I've got more month than I've got money, God said, Robert, I told you. Am I going to have to change your name? realize that these promises are so great, they're so amazing, and they belong to you. Put a call on what it is you need, and to make this promise means this to me today. You're not going to upset God. You're not going to make God go bankrupt. God is going to give you the desires of your heart. He wants you to be successful. And the reason He wants you to be successful is so that you have an abundance to meet every need and to help others. This belongs to you. Well, that's pretty much what I have tonight. Did it come together? Okay, it fit? All right. I wanted it to fit, but I wasn't sure. I'd like all of you to think of some needs that you have in your life. And it's not just quoting the verse, but when you get these promises, put on the end of it, I do receive that, and this is what I'm receiving. Because from that point forward, you have a way to measure it. And I don't start, I'm going to build a skyscraper over here in the city of Cumming that's 10 stories tall. Start with something small that you can believe for. Because if you're going to ask God for something that you really can't believe for, you're not going to stand behind it. You're going to say, that's just too good to be true. I can't do that. I mean, I ask for my bills to be paid for. I ask for certain things to do. And then when I ask for my house to be paid for, that was massive. And the thoughts that there's no way He would do that for me popped in my head constantly. Because the devil needed me to come off of that. He needed me to speak, well, this ain't going to happen. So we just stick with it. I don't care what you see. The promise of God is true. So you stick with what it is what you've called for. Because He knows your needs before you need them, and He's already provided even as you ask.